Good afternoon. My name is Karen Munoz, and I come to you from Orange County, California. Today I'm going to change the subject a lot from what we just talked about. I'm a practitioner. I work as a program manager in public health community nursing. And I'm going to talk about a very unique project that we have going on in Orange County. It started about 18 months ago, and I'd like to give a little introduction to it. I use Margaret Mead here because we talk a lot about how we cannot do things in our community because we don't have the resources or we don't have the manpower or we don't have this or that. It's always the cup is half empty. But Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And in our case, I think it's very, very true. About 18 months ago, I received a phone call one evening from an administrator in the county about a homeless gentleman that was running around one of our parks, Mile Square Park in Orange County, with a catheter that was leaking. He'd been recently discharged from one of our local acute care facilities, and he was obviously upsetting a lot of people because he had lost his catheter bag. He was leaking urine, and he was somewhat confused and had other medical problems. So I immediately dispatched a couple public health nurses to go out to look for this gentleman. And they finally caught up with him with the help of our social service department at one of our local emergency shelters, and we have very few of them, at an armory that's open part of the year. And they were able to get to him and offer him subsequent health care, get him back into an acute care facility. But this started out a ball rolling, and there were a group of people that became very concerned about the homeless in our community and what is being done and what is going on with our homeless. So we had a small, what we call, research committee that was formulated in my program. It consisted mostly of public health nurses who went out into the community to take a look at what really was available, what wasn't available, and to do some basic assessment of what the issues were. And they came back with some significant information about the homeless in Orange County that I think is striking. We have a high incidence, and you look at us from across the country, we have one of the highest percentages of homeless in the country for our square miles. And the homeless represent 1.2% of the population of Orange County, and that's about 35,000 individuals. Now, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how you get homeless counts and, you know, how you do this. I think that this is probably a low number, considering that we don't really count doubled-up people, people that are living in people's in other people's homes, on in their couches, in their garages, and so forth. And we have a lot of that kind of doubling up going on in Orange County. One of the most striking things, too, was that families with children represented 70% of these individuals. And the children in particular, there were many of them, over 16,000, and many, again, 5,000 under the age of five. So there became kind of a groundswell, grassroots kind of concern about this. And interested individuals then decided that they were going to try to formulate some plans and do something about the problem in Orange County, hopefully build some community groundswell to come up with solutions to some of the issues that the homeless were facing. When we look at the homeless, according to the literature, most of them are women and children, and they're headed by a female. The families are headed by a female, and many of them have kids under five. They have high rates of health problems, and this was substantiated by our research, and high exposure to violence. People in Orange County become homeless for a lot of reasons. Financial loss is huge in Orange County, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. Of course, with women, it's domestic violence. There are health problems. And there's a high incidence of homeless because of the high cost of living in Orange County in particular. Of course, we have other associated factors like substance abuse, alcohol abuse, those kinds of things. If you look at this, is a very interesting slide. In Orange County, you look at the affordable market rent in Orange County, If you're living on minimum wage in Orange County, you can't afford any apartment. Okay, there's just no way that you're going to afford it. You're going, you know, because you need on an average for a family, you would need to make about $27 an hour in order to afford a two-bedroom apartment. That's significant, particularly when you consider the current societal problem of the mortgage crisis that we're going through. And I'll talk a little later about the fact that the homeless are increasing, ever increasing, in Orange County. So let's talk a little bit about the assessment of the homeless. There's many gaps in resource delivery of the homeless in Orange County, and I want to talk a little bit about the fact that children, the children that we see in the homeless, they sometimes lack vaccinations, preventative care. They have numerous upper respiratory infections. Many of them have behavioral and psych problems. We just recently had a 12-year-old that tried to commit suicide. Okay, which is an ever-increasing problem in our very young people. They have learning disabilities. They have trouble staying in school and keeping up with their studies. These are huge problems, and there are gaps in care for just the children. When you go to adults, it can be even more significant. Then, you know, you need to look at public and private communication cooperation. I'm kind of known for my candor, so I'm going to, when I talk about this particular issue, I'm going to say that sometimes the solution to a problem in some of our bureaucratic institutions is to ignore the problem, because if you ignore it, then you don't have to do anything about it. Okay? Okay, I see some people laughing. All right. So if we have a denial that there's a problem, then we are off the hook for the resources and the financial situation that we are obligated to provide once we have assessed that it's there. So it's better not to assess it. Okay. And so when you look at public-private agency communication and the reason it's poor, some of that is due to the fact that they're all trying to compete for these same dollars that are available, and becomes a competitive thing rather than a service delivery issue. And as we all know, the homeless lack preventative health care, as do most Americans. Okay. Okay. In Orange County, we have only a couple real emergency shelters for homeless people. We have some armories that are open about 5 months of the year when it gets cold and damp and wet. This is what it looks like. And we had a more recent new phenomena, which we're dealing with now, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes. But it used to be that when you go to the armory, what you saw was adults. Many of them were folks suffering from mental illness, chronic homelessness. The majority were men, some women, but for the most part, that's what you saw. Recently, what we have found after we've been going to the armory is that we've had a huge amount of families with children that have no other recourse but to go to the armory. And this presents unique problems of its own in terms of the children. The other thing we found is that when you look at the current sheltering in Orange County, what you find is that there are tough criteria for transitional shelter beds. Many people can't access the transitional sheltering simply because they can't meet that criteria. You have to have a job, or you have to have already gone through a treatment program and found yourself drug-free, or you have to be drug-free in order to participate. That creates a problem. The other thing that's been happening is the numbers of homeless have been increasing, and so the resources are taxed. In a literature review of the homeless, we find what we thought we would find. They are more prone to developing communicable diseases of all kinds, whether that be respiratory illness or TB. The children who are homeless are more likely to be neglected and abused and sexually abused. And that, of course, we found that many of them had substance abuse problems and serious mental illness. The poor quality so we diagnosed, we have a diagnosis, a nursing diagnosis. The poor quality of life in Orange County homeless are related to, number one, lack of shelter, inadequate health care with poor outcomes, insufficient community programs and resource delivery, and the effects of increasing numbers of homelessness has made it almost competitive to get help. So in our outcome identification, because we wanted to have a goal, okay, we decided that our goal was by 2010 that the homeless population of Orange County would demonstrate a higher quality of life as evidenced by a 20% decrease in homelessness. Okay. And we would address this through interagency collaboration, community support and involvement, utilization of the services available, and of course policy change, which if you know the socio-ecological model, that is the model that we were using for our tact on this. Now, this is quite an endeavor, and it's a grassroots endeavor. This is trying to involve the whole community in reaching this outcome. So we created a plan, and for those that don't recognize this, this is one of the many socio-ecological models that is out there in how we were going to address this issue. And we had to start small because the resource delivery for this program was coming out of my program. That's where it started. We were going to start with me, and we were going to try to move the ball forward. So we decided we were going to create a new nursing position that was just dedicated to working with this community. And the idea was that this PHN role would be such that we would apply the socio-ecological approach. Now, this is talking about really applying population-based nursing practice to what we were doing. This is somewhat outside the box of what the public health nurses normally do in the county because many of them are categorically funded and they do one thing. However, we decided we were going to apply the real model and we were going to go forward with this. And one of the things that the individual who took this position was charged with was to provide support and resources to public-private collaboration out into the community. And fortunately, we had an advocate. We had a serious advocate in our bureaucratic structure of the county, because I work for the county, and that was our health officer. That helped considerably. We also had the help of some graduate students that were working with me. I precept graduate students all the time, and they were instrumental in helping us get this off the ground. So the implementation process was the comprehensive health assessment team for the homeless. It started with one nurse, but along with that nurse, we got plenty of volunteers and other people, stakeholders in the community to come on board, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more now. Okay. And of course the goal was to provide access to comprehensive holistic health care for the homeless. And what this means is we could start with health care. We could look at providing preventative care, care for chronic illness and that concept. And then once we engaged the homeless in the community because this was being provided, then we could move on to other socioeconomic issues like that are very important to sustaining any kind of engagement of the homeless, such as housing. Okay. All right. So we had immediate goals. These were immediate goals. Introducing existing medical and mental health care to the homeless for their immediate needs. Looking to social services that are available in the community, not just our own social service department in the agency, but the other social services, to help the homeless become more aware of those services and hopefully hook them up despite the transient lifestyle. And also to facilitate the community awareness, and this is extremely important, in the entire community of the homeless epidemic. It's a knowledge level that has to be raised in order for there to be a real grassroots effort in terms of what's going to take place. So we had some strategies. We were going to take medical and mental health care into the shelters to improve this implementation. We were going to work at facilitating the communication between homeless health care providers, shelter providers, volunteers, and other health care agencies or acute care facilities within our community. And this is a big task, but to get them to try to understand what the other people were doing and actually work together to provide services rather than being in a competitive environment where they were always after the dollar. Let's refocus them on the service delivery, which was our goal. And then promote the discussion. Keep promoting the discussion. You know, I don't know if you've noticed in communities today, but every community-based organization has case managers. And everywhere you go, so you end up with this homeless person with five or six different case managers out there, all right, and they don't talk to each other. So we're going to try to get people to talk to each other. Our immediate outcomes were significant. We were able to provide direct service to 1,105 homeless individuals, and that's only as of 2108. This is has increased dramatically. We went outside the box, which is not always appreciated in a government environment, but we went outside the box and created a 501c3 called the Illumination Foundation. And the reason that this was done was because we wanted to get stakeholders to help us sustain our efforts. And the only way to sustain those efforts in the community was to have an outside funding source. We got Kaiser involved, and they set up clinic sessions. We got funding for a mobile clinic. UCI, USC, and Biola, they have clinical programs in social work and healthcare, and we've engaged them in providing service to this community. We got Target to help give us free prescription refills, and we've initially convinced transitional shelters to actually accept families on an emergency basis and waive their strict criteria. That was the initial outcomes. Since then, we've grown significantly. This is just an impressive slide. These are our public-private partners that are working with Chad H. now. And Chad H., you know, started out to be this little team. Now it's more of a, I'd like to call it a buzzword for the big public-private collaborative that started at a grassroots level. That's what they recognize as the name of it. All of these entities here, and they're too numerous for me to talk about today, are contributing to our efforts. And we have successes, and these are just some people, because I think bringing people into this are important. We have a full-time nursing student now and mom who's going to be graduating in 4 weeks that we have assisted. We have a family transitioning into a permanent apartment, and we've got some people, some stable work. And we can go down this together. 30 children are enrolled now in public schools. 5 kids are in the HUD Start program, 8 who have found new jobs. 9 families are fiscally stable. 4 families are earmarked to transition. And it goes on, and I can keep going, okay? I would like to introduce to you an individual who is really responsible for this starting. This is our public health nurse, the one who got the ball rolling, and it's Paul Leon, and we call him the homeless guy, and he's sitting out here in the audience. Stand up, I mean. I'd like to point out to you that when you allow public health nurses to truly practice at the population-based level and outside of the box that they have been put in for years in government agencies, a whole heck of a lot can be accomplished in a community. Okay? Apply that wonderful, the book came out by NA and about our competencies, and it's included in there. This is the Illumination Foundation. There's a website, go on and find it if you want to, that has been created in Orange County now to sustain the efforts of this. Their mission is to connect homeless individuals to wraparound supportive services and bridge the gap, and also to research and publish on homelessness. Okay, so that's to come. This is our new plan for what we're going to do. We have started a small pilot in one area of the county at the Costa Mesa Motor Inn, where we actually, through our health efforts, find people and families that need immediate housing, and we have emergency housing available thanks to the Illumination Foundation. And once they enter into our system, they get the wraparound services that are necessary for them to move on. Certainly there's responsibility involved for the families, but they embrace it readily, and it helps them. And we hope to recreate that model in 3 other areas of our county in the next few years. The wraparound services are all services, dental care, medical care, mental health care. Here's some of the vans that we've incorporated. We call them the Mutt vans. Dr. Handler, who is our health officer, is in the audience also. He is the supporter of this. He's been a tremendous supporter of this. Stand up. And he is also the person who develops all of our interesting acronyms, okay, like MUTT. Okay. This is the volunteers that we have, and they are numerous. We have food distribution, tutoring services, and clothing and supply distribution. Now the chat team, the initial chat team, okay, is going to be expanded. We have two more public health nurses that are going to be dedicated to this, so hopefully that will help us recreate this in other parts of the county. We made the case for it, and we got that, and Paul or someone will be moving on to what we call a coordinator position. And that is my presentation for today. That's my 20 minutes, and I hope to answer all your questions about this later. This is extremely exciting, everybody. Okay, thank you.